Venter City Planning Board meeting, August 24th, 2026.
At this time, the Venter City Planning Board, August 24th, 2026, is now in session. This meeting is being held in accordance thereof pursuant to New Jersey State Sunshine Law. Notice of this meeting was advertised in the press, and a copy has been pushed in the current and has been posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building. At this time, we will rise and salute the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Our Board Administrator, please call the roll.
Commissioner Langraff?
Here.
Joe Ianazelli?
Here.
Jay Cook?
Here.
Lorraine Salata?
Here.
Dan Smith III?
Here.
Mike Wiesen?
Here.
Peter Tocco?
Here.
Greer Gaskell?
Here.
Wendy Bartlett?
Here.
Jessica Stilley?
Here.
John Van Dyne?
Here.
Absent are Mayor Kribel and Tim Coop.
At this time, we will adopt the minutes or reproduce the minutes of August 12th, 2026. Are there any corrections or amendments to said minutes? Hearing none, may I have a motion and a second for adoption, please?
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? The ayes have it, the minutes are thereby adopted. Lorraine Salata is abstaining on that. At this time, there are no approval of resolutions to go before the board, so we'll go into the applications. Leo, do you have any announcements before we start the applications?
I do not.
Okay. The applications for this evening are 6415 Monmouth Avenue and 10 North Washington Avenue. I guess it's at 10 and 12 North Washington Avenue, in that order. So, Mr. Goldstein, you representing?
I am, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Please have your witnesses sworn.
Sure.
And you can begin. There'll be no preambles this evening, so you just go right into your case.
Sure. So we'll have Mr. Baglevo and Mr. Bruno sworn in, our architectural expert and the homeowner.
Okay. Mr. Bruno and Mr. Baglevo, if you can each just state your name and business address or home address for the record, I'll swear the two of you in together.
Stephen Bruno, home address is in Edgewater Park, but the home meter is 6415 Monmouth Avenue.
I'm Baglevo, Baglevo Associates, 4721 Town Road, Philadelphia.
If you can each please raise your right hand, each swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Baglevo, not familiar with your credentials. Are you licensed in the state of New Jersey?
Yeah, New Jersey and 11 others. I'm on the Board of Appeals of Whitman Township.
As an architect?
As an architect.
Are you a planner also?
No, I'm not.
You're an architect?
Yeah. I've been in probably 100 meetings in the state of New Jersey alone.
How long have you been in practice?
I've been in my own practice 18. I've been practicing architecture for 43.
Well, that's congratulations. Pleasure meeting you. We'll accept your credentials. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Roger, do you want me just to get started? Do you want to go over the...
You can go.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for swearing everybody in. Leo, Eric Goldstein, on behalf of the applicants, Stephen Laura Bruno. This is regarding 6415 Monmouth Avenue. For those of you familiar with the site, it is directly across the street from Newport Marine on Sunset. The street separates the rear of a number of zero lot line homes from parking and the dock area over at Newport. And the Brunos have the end unit furthest to the north, which is a zero lot line and has shared a property line with another structure. Basically, the entirety of the development is two side-by-side, two-story, single-family homes, because it's zero lot line.
Is it single-family or single-family attached?
Single-family with a zero lot line. So you've got house, lot line, and then directly next door, the exact same thing.
Are they attached?
They are attached.
Okay, then let's look.
They're attached on the lot.
Single-family attached for the purposes of this meeting?
Correct. The proposal, right now, there are zero parking spots, and the structure is not flood compliant. The Baglevo's proposal is to take the existing first level, convert that to uninhabitable space, which would ultimately be a garage and storage, and there'd be a restriction filed so that you couldn't use the first level as habitable space. And then adding to the top of the existing structure, two more stories, so it would be a 2.5-story overparking, single-family residence connected to a 2-story structure which is currently in place. Mr. Baglevo has designed this specific structure so that it would have zero impact on the property next door. It will give off-street parking, it will be a benefit for flood protection, and it of course will give the Brunos more room which they need. And I'm gonna turn it over to Tom to walk us through what he designed, kind of say what.
Mr. Goldstein, may I interrupt for one second? For the board's purposes, do you own the structure that is attached? Is that involved in this case?
No, the structure is attached to another structure which is owned by a third party.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that is not part of this case?
Correct, not at all.
And you do not own that structure?
Correct.
Okay.
You might have noticed, and Mr. Baglevo has a bunch of photos, this isn't the first time something like this has occurred in Venner. There are a lot of side-by-side units where one side, respectfully, wishes to just stay like it is, to remain non-flood compliant, and to not provide parking. And then on some of those same structures, you've seen, I'm sure, we're going to show you photos, construction on the other side, which makes the first level flood compliant parking and gives more room to the party who desires to kind of perk up what's been there for a while. And I think Tom can explain that pretty well. All right. So Tom, we've had you sworn in, your credentials have been accepted. Why don't you walk the board through what we're looking to do here? And of course, we're going to focus on the engineering and architecture to make sure that while this provides a off-street parking and flood protection for the Brunos, it also doesn't have an impact on the neighboring property, which is attached, proposed to this structure.
Tom, could you do a favor, please? Could you move your easel in closer to the center of the room so people can see that? And the board can, majority of the board can also see it.
Absolutely. I also don't think you have the most up-to-date drawings that I have here. The original drawing was the same sheet. This is a new written set. You have a single sheet. This is 4 pages. I did a full zone set. So a lot of Roger's questions were resolved.
Have you submitted a copy of your zoning set?
We did. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Right.
I got 814. I think you guys
have. Just hold on 1 second, please. Do you have any set? We don't have a set that we know of. Carmela doesn't have it. Roger doesn't have it. Leo doesn't have it. So we have no zoning set. So we need an exhibit one.
Okay.
We did have. I'm sorry, Ed.
You want to make this exhibit one?
That would have to be, Leo.
Yeah, I could leave. I mean, this is a copy. I can leave everything. Okay. I've got precedent photos as well. Would be exhibits as well.
Leo, how you
but this set will spell everything out a lot more clear than the conceptual.
Yeah, we'll call it A1. And in light of Roger's report, is what prompted some revisions. Is that
correct? Correct.
Okay.
So I can take you through the in the beginning of the concept.
We have people in the audience, and I was hoping you would turn the easel that way so we have those folks in the audience can also see it with the board. Okay.
No, it's just.
Can't see it.
Okay.
Why don't we do this? Because we also want the board to be able to see it. We have to choose one of the others.
The board's got to see it.
Would it be better if we just let anyone who wants to see the plan look at it, and then we'll turn back so that the board.
Let's get the presentation done first, and we'll have a period where they can look at the plan as well. Okay. We'll do it that way. It's a good idea.
We met a while ago, and the concept was families growing in more room. They're in an area where parking is extremely limited. So the original homes here, 15 is on this side.
So it's the right side on the photograph?
Yep. And no real existing parking except for the one parking lot. And I basically call it an internal lift. It's just lifting inside the home. These are a little bit bigger, this may be more helpful. The existing first floor is here, and I have more detailed information if you want to get on exhibit. Second floor is here. The proposed first floor is to basically reverse the home. The front door is on the side, it's going to remain on the side. So the front does not have a front door in a lot of these homes, these twins. We're going to bring two cars in the back and then clean out the first floor, floodproof it, and make that basically your garage slash entrance to the home.
So just to be clear, let's go floor by floor. The first level, what we're proposing is internally to create parking and a space that's going to no longer be habitable. And this area will be restricted by a non-conversion agreement. And the only thing on the first level will be parking and entering and storage.
Correct. And it will be floodproof and waterproof. Out of waterproof material, not a whole lot of conversion.
Right.
The floor above becomes two bedrooms and a den. So we're putting the living floor in the middle. And then we're going to put the dining room kitchen and another bedroom up on the floor above. And then a deck and a living room above that.
And describe on the highest level the size of the living area compared to the areas below.
The living area is 19 by 13. The bedrooms below are, you know, standard small twin bedrooms. 10 feet by 12 and a half.
But would it be fair to say that the area on the highest level is much less than the area below?
Oh, yes, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, we want to make sure we satisfy that.
Yeah, the internal conditioned space is a little more than that.
Could we simplify this a little bit? Could you tell us how many bedrooms you have?
Yes.
And how many square feet? How wide is the lot?
We have 18.
We have three bedrooms.
Right.
We have a living room, dining room, kitchen. We have an elevator that goes to the upper level. And there are hopes to stay in the house for a long period of time. All the square footages are here. Ground floor, 361. First floor, 979. Second floor, 979. Third floor, 694. Ground floor, unconditioned, is 129, which includes the garage.
So you're three.
The width of the lot is 18 feet. The structure is about 14, so there's a 4-foot wide strip. On the right-hand side, and zero lot lines on the left-hand side. And depth of the lot, I don't have it.
Is that an existing setback?
Yes, it's all.
Yeah, everything's.
It's existing, it's unchanged.
Correct, with the footprint will change zero.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it an encroachment?
How many parking places are you providing?
It's negative.
Two for fourth. We only have three bedrooms, but we're providing two.
Planner bed?
Which is adequate for that.
That's correct.
Correct.
Okay.
And you have one more question in there.
I think Jessica might have had a question, so.
Front yard setback, negative 25.
The planter's going away.
So it's a planter, right?
Planter getting removed.
That was a negative 25.
That's the garage.
That's the improvement. That's okay. That's what I was confused about.
Yeah, I saw that too.
So when it won't exist, the encroachment won't exist if the work is done.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
Is the house coming down completely?
Not at all.
Or leaving the first floor enclosure? It's solid masonry on the first floor?
Yeah.
But it's in the block?
We're putting in four new walls. And either a piggyback footing or new piles. And we're gonna have a new structure separate completely from the UTC. And then the home's gonna sit on the new structure, which it currently is now. So it's an internal lift, is what I, I don't know the word for it, that's why.
But to be clear, Peter's question is important. The work that the Brunos are proposing will be independent of the structure next door.
Correct.
And have no impact on the structure next door, because everything will be borne, the weight of the proposed addition will be borne by what's there now or what they're gonna add.
Correct. And Schaefer Engineering is ready to go. I wanted to wait for, obviously, tonight's hearing before we start all the engineering. But the original design is.
But the building is actually coming down?
No.
It's not.
So if the building department feels, or the engineer feels it needs to come down, then we'll have to talk about it. The idea was to keep the building.
All right, I'm gonna interrupt for a minute. We have Roger McLaren, who did get sworn in at the beginning.
Roger.
We have him sworn in.
Mr. McLaren, please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the testimony you'll give throughout this evening will be the truth.
I do.
Thanks.
So, Tom, I just want to be clear on this. The first floor, the existing second floor, you're jacking that up?
No.
It's being removed?
We're keeping the first floor, we're keeping the second floor. You look, it might be hard for you guys, all the clear wall are existing to remain.
Okay.
We're gonna build a new wall on the inside and we'll use that current wall.
So the existing ground floor walls are staying?
Right.
Okay.
First floor, the current second floor becomes the first living floor.
Correct.
That's existing as well. The gray is where the house becomes new.
So Roger, I guess we know we're talking an internal lift. It's internally, the first level is gonna become the garage. The second level becomes the first level.
Sure.
There'll be no actual lifting. It'll be the construction that, it's a lift, but it's a construction.
Right, but Tom's comment that he's gonna put all new walls in there on the ground floor.
So like a precedent in Denver is.
Right.
Everything stays on the first two levels, so we don't disturb the other houses. Even though we could, I mean, how does the board, does the board want it rebuilt? I mean, this is by the engineers. Wait, we can.
I mean, I think we would rather not rebuild the whole thing. We think, based on the engineering report, if the structure can support and pilings and the brick that, the block that Tom's proposing, if the engineers say this is satisfactory, then we're gonna go with that. We're not intending, there's another one.
Here's another precedent.
To tear everything.
We're all over town.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to describe. I call it an internal lift, but I don't know if I'm getting the right terms.
Well, so Sandy, we've seen a lot of this internal lift. It's not as prevalent,
I'm sorry.
It's not as prevalent with the twins or side by sides, but it happens. If you're abandoning the first floor, you're taking that and replacing it on what is now the first floor. And you're adding two stories.
We have about four of them right now, I think. Three or four.
We do. I'm trying to get away from the fact that it's a two-family. And saying the description of what Mr. Baglivo was saying is a way that people have addressed raising homes post-Sandy. This is not a new concept.
Right.
They did it a lot in like the city. It happened because you had apartments that were basements that can no longer, it's not habitable anymore. So they literally moved floors internally. He's not proposing that, but still.
It's just replicating.
The first one is still an internal type lift. It's just not moving floors.
Yeah.
It's moving space, I'll say.
Yeah.
Abandoning the first, putting in the parking, making that first floor the bedroom, right?
Yes.
For the most part. Yeah. Second floor is your kitchen, dining.
It's changing the use of the space.
Sure.
Application.
We have to.
Yeah, just the application. That's the way to do it. Yes. This is the most extreme one. That's about a block and a half away. I think everybody's seen
that. That was all new.
Right. That's why I said it's the most extreme. This house is completely untouched.
Yep.
Yeah, the first one was done on Fredericksburg Avenue, I believe. That was the first one. And then done from there.
Yeah.
So Tom, let's go through a couple of things here that are important, and I think there are probably some neighbors who may have a question or two. With regard to the construction and the methods of construction that you're aware of as an architect, by doing this project, and by making sure it's engineered correctly, as Taco asked, by making sure that the block is put in correctly, if the board sees fit to grant tonight, Mr. Bruno, to do this project, will this have any adverse impact on the property directly next door?
No.
And there will be cars parked in the structure, cars pulling in and out.
One car.
Will the fact that a car is going to be parked in the garage there have any negative impact on the property next door?
No, because industry standard and building norm, it will be a one-hour rated garage with a tailgate drywall and fire caulk and all the bells and whistles, as well as floodproofing.
So you'd have the ground floor floodproof. The car in the garage wouldn't have any negative impact on the neighbor. The construction methods wouldn't have any negative impact. Now, there's one thing that's important. I know Roger and I talked about this a while ago, which is the removal of water from that site. What do you have proposed to make sure that the new construction properly removes water and drains the way it's supposed to drain?
The study will be regraded a little bit if it's available. And it will be split in half. From the midpoint, the water would go to the back drive and not shed onto the right neighbor or the left neighbor. The same thing on the front. Midpoint, the walkways would be redone and the water would go towards the street and not shed on the left and right hand side. The roof water will actually,
I'm going to ask a couple questions too in the meantime, because I think this is important for Mr. Bruno. For those of you who are aware, on an average bad tide, that area, which would be the backyard of the Bruno house, floods terribly. And when there's actual flooding, there are feet of water. There was a time last year. Steve, why don't you come up? Tom, why are you doing that? I just want Steve to testify very briefly here, because this is important to one of the reasons why I wanted to raise. You're sworn in. The board's going to have some questions for you maybe, but I do want you to tell the board your reasons for wanting to do this and what you went through to get here and all the work you've done to figure out the best thing for you and for the city of Edmond.
Okay. Well, again, thank you for hearing on my case tonight. We bought the house in 2015, and since that time, parking has become really, really bad, to the point now where we pull in, my wife and I work from our home on Friday, so we will come in Thursday night, park our car, and we do not move it until we leave on Sunday. We tip either Uber or ride a bike once we get here, because if you move it, you're not gonna find another spot. So parking has become really, really bad. My kids, one of which is here, they're now live far away, so they have to drive, so effectively we'll have a couple cars coming to our house. So we need parking. It's just, without that, it's just brutal. So that was the main motivator, and then as, Eric alluded to the flooding in the last couple of years. It's gotten to the point where it comes up to our back stair, which is pretty close to getting on that first floor. I know in Hurricane Superstorm Sandy, I did not own it at the time, but there was about 2 feet of water in my house during that storm. So thank God it hasn't happened again, but it certainly can, right, as you guys all know. So between the flooding and the parking, that was the main motivator. And then again, just wanting to, you know, improve the house for the long term, because we will be here forever. My wife and her family started in Margate in 78, been there ever since, and we intend to do the same thing here in Ventnor.
We spent a lot of time talking about the way that this could perhaps affect the neighbor. Mr. Taglito designing his plan, put together a plan that puts water off of that side of the property, make sure that the structure is maintained, and we of course have seen numbers of homes that were raised in a similar way. Is there anything else that you would like to talk to the board about? I honestly want to keep this property in your family for a long time, but you're going to have potentially grandkids at some point. You want to have more space than you have now. Describe what you have there now, which would be helpful, and what we're trying to build there.
Yeah, so right now the house, as you see it on that picture there, is only about 1,800 square feet, I think. So when we started to go up, obviously we start thinking, well, now we have to be, you know, older and have to carry groceries up the stairs and so forth. That's going to be untenable because of the reverse living situation. Our kitchen will be on what is the third floor. So I'm not going to lug groceries three stories up when I get older, right? Nor is my wife. So that precipitated the need for an elevator. So with the elevator, you need stairs plus an elevator, that square footage started to eat away at the square footage of livable space. So that's why we ended up with the top floor, as shown on the drawings as well. And the deck that's there is essentially a replacement for what I'm losing in my backyard, because we're bringing the driveway in from the Newport Ave, I'm sorry, from the Sunset Ave, rather than the Monmouth side. Because I know my neighbor has a hard time getting in his driveway on Monmouth. A, because it's the Indianapolis 500, and B, because it's just so tight. So coming around the back will be a lot easier, and it can get into my house that way. We keep the elevator on the Monmouth side of the property.
So if I could add, reallocating living space up.
Oh, right, essentially.
In the outdoor living space.
Right, like I was talking to Tom beforehand, I said, why is the square footage showing 3,000? Because most of the square footage that you see there is stairs and elevator, which is really not livable space. So if you look at the livable space, I think it's like 200 extra square feet over what I have now. So we're really not improving the square footage a whole bunch, but we're trying to retain as much outdoor living space as possible because we're losing our backyard.
And that's the reason for the deck up top, right. And you're losing, of course, your whole first floor that will be stored. So you're really just getting an additional floor, but it's going to be nicer in the door.
And parking.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody have questions for Mr. Bruno?
Yeah, I have one question. When the construction is complete and the building is, you know, erected, what are you going to do with the water off of the right side of the building that all dumps on the roof of the
gutter design section?
All gutter?
Yeah, so what we're going to do is at the upper level on the drawings, the existing adjacent home is here.
Okay.
Off of this roof, we're going to have a gutter at the top. It's going to catch that water downspout down to the actual house. And then another gutter here. And then we're going to run down, kick it towards the front, and obviously end it with a downspout on the front. So we're going to have a roof gutter with downspouts, another roof, another wall gutter, so any water that's on that wall, because obviously rain doesn't come straight down. So the rain hits the side house, it goes down into that gutter, and then all the collectors from the back will take the water. Front will go down from the front, and back will go to the Sunset.
So the gutter extends outward from the wall?
Yes.
So it's on the neighbor's property?
It's on, well, the way we have it set, just the gutter's over, but I don't think it's, I mean, if we had to move it back.
I don't think it can be on their property.
Yeah. Right, so it would be in the masonry wall in the center.
We can make that work, though.
Yeah, we can make that work where the edge of the gutter is at the property, yeah. Zero.
Well, if you can't go over the line, you can make it work.
That's actually how we do that.
Tom, the question, are you using commercial gutter 6-inch or using 4-inch?
We haven't designed the size yet. Depending on the load, we can. If we have to go to 6, we'll go to 6.
Well, you never know, because nature always throws you a curve.
So we'll use the 6-inch gutter.
Yeah, I mean,
we'll have two downspouts, so if one's clogged, the other one will.
Right, yeah, because nature, you never know. I mean, they throw us.
That's a good idea, Mr. Chairman. I think that making it a little bit bigger, it's not going to be cost prohibitive, of course.
Right,
it'll
exactly.
Save a lot of headaches.
That's right, good. There's unknowns in this world, and you design for them.
Does the neighbor's house have a flat roof?
Yes.
Okay.
Flat-ish. It's pitch, but it's not a peak roof.
It's not a 512.
Yeah. Actually, this is the sample here. Right down the street. This is the neighbor's house, which would be left of the window. And this is the new building. So it's catching all that before it gets on that.
Yeah.
And you can do a can strip. Yeah. You do a can strip so that nothing can go between the two houses.
So you understand what John was saying about that wall.
Right. The stage on the end of that wall.
When we have seasonal storms, there's a tremendous amount of water that comes in, and if they have a flat roof, there has to be some type of relief that it's just not going to flood, because I have one of those houses, you know, where the big, where the house is on the corner. The woman next door, she has a problem.
Yeah, the current drainage on that roof will remain, because there's a parapet separating the homes now. So the water basically runs over the shared wall and runs both ways. So the left side will remain, we're not going to lessen the water flow up there.
But you're not going to increase it?
We're not going to, right.
It's not going to increase it.
No.
So you're going to have to retain, you know, get that water off.
Right, that's why I said gutter on Monmouth and a gutter, a downspout on Monmouth and a downspout on the Sunset side to get the water.
Can I interrupt for a second?
Yes.
Many of these houses that were done use a shed roof for the, to avoid this problem.
No.
In there, I just am saying that, that they've used the shed roof to avoid this, this, the water runoff problem. Now, they don't.
Do you hear me?
Yes, they've used the top on the top floor. There's several buildings that have done that.
Wait, you're saying like that?
Yeah, I don't like that.
Well, I don't like it either, but I'm just saying that, that's an option.
But this is a better option.
It's a better option. Optically, it's better.
I like the same pitch, and then I like, because you have to make it work, the reflection of that water.
Right.
I think looking at one half of a pitched roof just looks terrible.
I understand that, but I mentioned that only because that was done.
It was done, which means that.
So, I totally agree with your saying, and this is a more statically pleasing building. Number one, number two, we're already shedding 50% of the water off the house before it even gets to the other house.
Right.
So we're currently dropping 50% of the water intake on this.
I think with what you're talking about with gutters and that, that wall gutter collecting that water, that, I think that comes to handle it. And, you know, Roger and Dino are going to have to look at that for building permits. But a couple of questions I have on the proposed first floor plan. You have that one room labeled as a den. That's a bed. That's just that's a bed.
So what I did grant the Roger, I said, I actually have the existing home label.
It's labeled here too, but it's labeled as a den. That meets the definition of bedroom. It's got closets right next to the bathroom. Is that the fourth bedroom or is that the fifth bedroom?
That's the, I mean, they use it as a den.
Yeah, we, I understand what they, when you're labeling on the plan, that by our definition, by construction code definition, that's a bedroom.
Okay.
So I want to know how many bedrooms included the den.
If you include the den, it's four bedrooms, and that's why we provide two bedrooms.
And that's fine.
That's fine, that's right.
I just, we want to make that clear on the plan, that that's a bedroom.
That's fine, we could be like, yeah, I mean, I think you're going to do the results.
Yeah, and that's fine, but yeah.
No, but I think, well, no, I think Commissioner Landgraf is saying is, there's a definition of what a bedroom is, and if it meets the definition, it just should be shown on the plans. However you want to use it is fine, however you want to put it, but he's saying if it's a room with a bathroom and a closet, it's a bedroom, so just make sure that it's an accurate count. That's
all. We have to create a record here for our zoning officer that we're not all here. You know, 20 years down the road, someone else owns the house, we got, you know, Dino's going to still be here, Robert's going to be here, but I won't be here. So.
Jay will still be
Jay
here.
No,
Jay will still be here.
I'll still be here.
That's why I just want to make sure the record's clear.
Yeah.
No, I did say four bedrooms, so I did change that.
Whenever I try to design one down there, I try to go one parking spot.
Yeah. So the other thing, one Schaefer Scheiding's plan shows West Sale Drive. I'm pretty sure that's Monmouth Avenue.
Yeah. Yes.
But the driveway is coming off of Sunset, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So the, you do have that landscaping in front, and then we'll get to some of these comments. So do you believe in that, that landscape bed? The one that, that Jessica raised that encroaching? I would suggest we do.
Yeah.
That's the only, it encroaches, you have to come get license from the city, but
yeah, no, it's,
so I think that creates a little bit of green space on the property.
And then, of course, we would like to keep it, but again, we know it's an encroachment. We, Jessica brought it up. I think the goal would be, to the extent the board sees fit to grant the approval, then to go back to city council, request the license to keep it there, because it is really the only landscaping along Monmouth. There's very little landscaping in that area.
I would like to see that stay.
It's less than 12 feet high.
Oh, is that low?
Yeah.
Then you don't even.
You don't need any license, sir?
No. But it's only this high?
Yes.
Under 12.
Under 12, I don't think.
You're fine.
I think Mr. Gannon.
Are you gonna leave that internal wall that you said?
Yeah.
There's two layers, there's two walls there. What you see on this, fellas, is adding on to the setting.
I think so.
The original owner, Tim White. Mr. Goldstein?
Yes.
You haven't elicited the variances you're seeking.
So we were about to get to that, now that we've answered, I hope, the board's questions. If you have any more, we'll certainly answer Mr. Bruno or Mr. Bagleva, but we can go through the variances now, if that's okay. All right, so, Tom, you've reviewed Roger's report, dated July 24th, correct? And we've discussed among ourselves the various, I don't have a copy of this in front of you. Okay. Do you wanna? Okay, no worries. So Roger calls out four variances on page 4 of 8 of his plan. So I just wanna walk through those with you, see if you agree, and then I do wanna put the positive and negative criteria on the record. So the first one that Roger calls out is side yard setback to the left. Of course, the left side of the house is where the zero lot line is. So zero is proposed, there's nothing we can do about that, correct?
Right.
Okay. Then you've got the side yard setback to the right. 4 feet is the minimum. We've got 3.1, that's existing. It's not changing, but there's nothing we can do about that, correct?
Yeah.
But we agree that that's a variance.
Correct.
Okay. Building coverage, right now, 55 is the maximum. This is going to wind up being 59.7. That's a variance, which we're going to go over in a second. And then, of course, the third floor deck not being permitted outside the building envelope, but in this case, it is out. But in this case, based upon the fact that there's no rear yard neighbor and the fact that it's over on Sunset, we're going to talk about the positive and negatives there. Do you concur with Mr. McLaren's report based on the four variances that he calls out?
Yes.
Okay. Based upon your licensure as an architect in the state of New Jersey, you've reviewed Mr. McLaren's report, you've updated your plans. Do you see any negatives that could be associated if the board grants these variances?
No.
And with regard to two of them specifically, side yards, there's nothing we can do about it to make the side yards small.
No.
Meaning make the side yards bigger, which would mean making the structure small.
Small.
Correct. Okay.
Right.
So we're looking at building coverage and third floor deck as things we have control over. Do you see that if the board saw fit to grant these variances, that all four of them collectively would be a positive for the property itself and also for the zone plan of the city of Ventnor and the state of New Jersey municipal land use?
Yes, it would be a better project overall for the entire town.
To the extent anyone could possibly say that this would be a negative, would the positives of granting this outweigh any negatives? Mr. Chairman, we would, of course, rest on Mr. Baglivo's testimony, but Mr. Bruno and Mr. Baglivo are here. It's probably going to be some members of the public.
I think there's a couple words in order first. I think that you should discuss with the board how the coverage came about and why the increase is here. And then secondly, I think you should discuss, because there's been no testimony on the rear deck.
Sorry?
There's been nothing said about the rear deck.
Okay.
So I think the board is in the dark about that. So why don't you enlighten the board, please?
So Tom, let me start with the rear deck and explain that the structure itself is out of the second floor, but most of the rear deck, I mean, look at that door, is that?
I mean, it's 27 feet. If we were to displace it, it's actually smaller than the current existing outdoor space.
Okay.
So 37 feet,
but
then there's
37
feet.
There's space on the
first level. First of all, gentlemen, is the rear deck a cantilever deck sitting over the property, or is it a rooftop deck on top of the building?
It's
There's what happened.
It's a rooftop deck. It's partially cantilevered.
Not cantilevered, it's attached to the side.
So this will help.
This is a good, Mr. Chairman, this is a good sign of you.
I can't see it.
So we're gonna pass this around, so this hopefully makes sense.
So what we've done is, let me start at the bottom, this one part right now. So this is existing first floor brick. The total envelope in the outdoor space comes out to here. One car would be parked under the home, the other car would be in the garage. This would be the bedroom floor, living room, dining room floors are here. So what we did was push the cars under here, kept it open, and put one car inside, one car outside. The current outdoor living space on the top floor over here, which again is about 27 feet, about 10 feet less than the current outdoor living space is here. What we did was put the mechanical units in a room on the roof, so that the mechanical units, the outdoor compressors, are more than 5 feet from the property line. So the house is 3 feet of the property line. This deck sits in about 6 more feet, and then the units are 5 feet from the property line, so we're complying with the unit locations. On this wall, we're also gonna put dentilas and raise this wall, because we're within 5 feet. But we need the 20% rule for windows. So all that is, will be on the final building run.
And we have a fire official here, so if you have any questions about that, we'd be happy to answer.
And you have a deck on the second level and a deck on the first level?
Yes, because they're by right.
Right, and they're roofed, okay.
Yeah, they're by right.
Right, okay.
This is the one that is, will be the variance.
It's outside the envelope of the floor.
Right.
Right.
It's not cutting.
The only difference is if you threw a roof here, everything could be by right. But they can't have their family there. There's the living rooms up here, the same idea as living rooms to the outdoor space.
And just so the board is clear, this area is open. This is sunset and everything's back. There's nothing behind the area at all here.
No structure.
No structure, no anything. It's just sunset and then the back.
Right.
Okay.
So your coverage from the front to the back is 59 feet. Could you show us on the plan where the 59 feet starts?
Fifty-nine percent. Because again, it's a challenge.
One time, please.
Just the building. He extended the building.
That's challenging.
Cut 9 feet off the back.
Right.
See, that's 59%.
That elevation's completely different.
Of the lot. Because it's over here, so that, you know. So 59%.
Is this little cutout open with the air conditioner?
So you got to 60% off the chart, and the ordinance says 55%. So that's where the confusion is on your end.
Well, we're open, we're 59.
Right, but in your chart, you have 60% as the allowable building coverage, and it's not.
Our building chart was incorrect. Roger was correct saying that the allowable coverage is less, but we're over anyway. But yes, we agree.
So, can you show the board the front yard facade that's facing Monmouth Avenue? Because the way it was first presented, it looked like a lighthouse.
Steve, you have it.
You mean the elevations?
The elevation, yes.
I think Mr. Bruno has it. It might be easier. If I could pass this around.
I'm not sure about the cover. This is what's new. This is basically what we need to pass on. This is that would be. That's the new design.
So you made the windows larger.
I'll call it A2.
Board members?
I'm going to call this A2 front Monmouth rendering.
Thank you.
So where is it? See, back, all these trends that are in the center, this is the front. don't have a house on the front, it can't fit, don't have a, the world in front, and then remember that you have fits.
I mean, I understand why the stair, because that's where the staircase is, right?
Right. But even existing, the door is 8 or 10 feet down, bringing up the walkway. Then you may have to enter it anyway.
Is that right here?
I would say that's better.
Where does the building, the rear, the back of the building, is that lined up with those porches? Where is that?
You mean the existing home?
The existing home, and I'm just trying to.
The adjacent home.
Yeah, and there's the adjacent one, so I'm trying to figure out how it's gonna look side by side, looking from Sunset. I mean, where, I'm looking at the side elevation, because that probably, if you go to the side elevation.
We're not the architect.
So if I could summarize that, maybe, from the rear of the property, you'd like to see what it looks like on the left side versus the right side?
Yeah, I'm just kinda curious where that relates to.
We only have the scale of it there.
Because I'm looking at the proposed side elevation, so where?
Tom, go to, yeah, go to the proposed side.
You have.
And Newport Ave is listed.
Existing plan.
Okay, so that's where.
That's the adjacent attached dwelling on the left, I may get it wrong, 17?
Well, from the rear, it would be on the right, from the front, yeah.
Yep. Okay.
So I think, Eric, some of us are having some concerns about that deck being 27 feet long going out from the back of the building.
Sure.
If you bring that third floor deck back in, 9 feet to match the back of the building, there's no variance there. Makes that second floor deck uncovered, but it.
It eliminates the variance.
Might even eliminate the coverage variance, doesn't it?
Nah, because it's the building itself.
It's an open deck.
Yeah.
The castle.
This is a variance even in the side yard.
Wow. From here back. Could be.
Commissioner, perhaps what you were able to explain the reason why you're seeking that variance.
Yeah, so again, right now, I don't know if you guys have ever walked on Sunset, but that, my backyard is pretty nice. My wife takes great pride in her flowers, the patio, and so forth. So by no longer having that extra living space because of the driveway that'll get under the house and our garage, we wanted to get back to the outdoor living space. Quite frankly, that's why the bedrooms are so small, because we really don't live in our bedrooms. We spend a ton of time outdoors. So it's sort of a, it's kind of an outdoor living space swap. What we're losing from the backyard, we just wanted to have that upstairs deck.
It seems like a lot going on with a very, very, very small piece of property. That's what I'm seeing, and what I'm hearing from our board members. So it's a lot going on. I get that you're trying to do outdoor space. Everybody wants to do that down here. That's why we come, down from you know, inland.
Right.
But that just, it's 27.9, it's almost 28 feet.
What does that elevation from the railing to the first gable end? That's not 27 feet.
Here? That's the first part, it's like an overhang.
Yeah, it's like an overhang, a little bit of coverage.
That's the 27.
So what's the deck from that overhang?
No, that is.
To the end of it?
I think it's back here, correct. 27 is here.
Right.
Partial.
Right.
The exposed piece is left.
We know it's.
You know that, that's covered by.
It's like 9.91.
So it's still be 16.
So that's covered by that gambrel roof then?
Yes, correct. So 9 feet is under the gambrel, and then 18 feet is out, and then they cover 9.91. So it's 9.18.27.
Because our drawings don't show though.
Well, it's hard.
Well, that's because they are.
This is the updated set we have.
Yeah, all right.
We incorporated not just.
I get it.
And can you clarify that other, that's, that utility space, is that open? If we're not, we're not showing that as open on this elevation.
It wasn't even on that set.
Okay, but it's shown as a utility.
So that's exterior space?
Yeah.
That's where the air conditioner is going to sit?
Yeah. Yeah, that, once we updated Roger's comments, we start doing more work there as well. We're trying not to put the cart before the horse. I want to make sure everybody's satisfied before we drive over.
Sure.
So what is our resolution regarding the upper deck, board members?
It's a campground section over here.
We patient for a minute.
If you reduce that, could you connect the second floor deck and the third floor deck with a spiral staircase? That way you have...
No.
What about the possum? Now, again, I don't know. Tom has the, Tom, see that plan for a second?
Yeah, that's a...
Just the first, just this. The house that's on the corner opposite this, they've got the deck all the way out, but it's covered. So we thought it would be better not to cover it, to leave it open, just because then I'll pass this around. This will be good.
Yeah, also the purpose of that is blocking less sun for the neighboring home.
Yeah, we left it open for a number of reasons, to kind of keep the light area of the space instead of having the portion of the deck that's outside the footprint covered up.
Going to be a lot less sun along it. We don't move it.
Eric, as a condition of approval, if we get to that point, can we have a grading plan from Andrew Schaefer?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, grading.
Well, we're going to do it.
Yeah, but make sure it's a condition.
If you have any suggestions on this, you were discussing the deck. Do you have any final suggestions on it?
I still think it's a lot. I want to hear from the neighbors.
Okay.
How
are you complete at this point? Board members, we've listed, you have four variances you're looking for. Okay, we talked about those. Now, board members, have any further questions?
The upper deck doesn't really bother me because that's in the rear yard. I mean, this one is in the front yard. I think you're asking a little more, but looking at that other drawing where the wall stops, right?
Yeah.
It's not peering into someone's house by any means. So,
well, what's sort of add to that is the bed. And there's no homes.
There's no homes. There's no not, homes it's not like it's looking into any, I don't know, it's in their backyard.
Okay.
Right.
Is there any, I forget what your answer was, when I said the deed from that acre lot actually started in the middle of the street. Does that have any bearing on this? Would that put the garage in the back?
On Sunset.
Sunset Avenue?
What's your question?
The deed actually, which is owned by Athena now, that acre lot starts in the middle of Sunset Avenue.
They show Sunset Avenue on the survey, which they... The deed research is being 12 feet wide, so it's...
What?
12 feet wide, and further down, it is wider, so that deed does include that.
Because I owned that lot a long time.
Right.
And that's when Ponzi owned
it. Okay. If there's no further questions, this time I'd like to open to the public. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to address the board on this application? Yes, ma'am. Please come forward, Ms. Warren.
Just give us your name and address, and I'll swear you in.
You can go.
Let's bring that mic. Somebody can bring that mic.
Go to this one.
And go over there. And bring it down to you.
See. Hi, my name's Patricia Lind. The address is 6417 Monmouth Avenue.
I didn't hear your name.
Patricia Lind.
Patricia, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Lind, L-I-N-D?
L-I-N-D, yes.
Okay, Ms. Lind, please raise your right hand. You swear upon the testimony you're about to give me the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
The floor is yours.
I'm sorry.
You stay in front of the microphone.
I'm sorry. So I brought just several pictures of what the properties look like at this moment, existing as twins. So this is the front, the rear, and then an aerial, just for reference. I don't know if anyone would like to see them. Or
yeah, yes.
Yes. So that's what they...
I'll just note those for the record.
That's how they presently appear.
Lind 1, three photos.
Okay, so I'll begin. My name is Patricia Lind, and I am an owner of 6417 Monmouth Avenue, the attached twin property to 6415 Monmouth Avenue. My brother, Timothy Dinan, also an owner, is a full-time, year-round resident of 6417 Monmouth Avenue. Our family has owned this property for 53 years, since May of 1973. These homes were built together in 1945, 81 years ago. They share a party wall, adjoining foundation, and interconnected roof framing. 6417 Monmouth Avenue is not just a neighboring property, it is physically connected to 6415. I'm here tonight to...
Pardon me one second, could everybody, everybody here in the back?
Am I, oh, am I okay?
Yeah, that's better.
That's better? Should I start over, am I fine?
Much better, thank you.
Thank you. I'm here tonight to respectfully object to the requested C variances because of the potential impact this project could have on our home. My primary concern is that the proposed construction places significant additional structural and physical burdens directly against an 81-year-old structure that is connected to my home, especially given our experiences during Superstorm Sandy and the vulnerability of these connected structures and foundations. Because our homes share a party wall, adjoining foundation, interconnected roof framing, and shared gutter system, I'm concerned about damage to 6417 during construction. Construction itself creates risks of foundation settlement, structural shifting, wall cracking, and damage to my side of the property. If there's movement during or after construction, the consequences will not necessarily stop at the property line, but there is no true separation between these two structures. Our interior wall is paneled, so structural movement may not be immediately apparent. The proposed third story would create a significant structural asymmetry between two homes that were designed and constructed together. I am very concerned for the impact of this additional height and weight on the shared foundation, party wall, and interconnected roof structure. Adding a third story to only one side destroys that symmetry and substantially changes the character and appearance of the property and the neighborhood. The roof is another major concern. Our roof structures are connected. Altering and raising one side of that roof creates potential risks of water intrusion, flashing failure, and damage to my ceiling and interior. There is also a proposal to convert the ground floor into a closed garage directly against our shared party wall. That requires substantial alteration to the existing structure. I'm concerned about the effect of removing load-bearing portions of the existing facade, as well as the fire, exhaust, carbon monoxide, noise, and vibration, and storage issues associated with placing an enclosed garage immediately adjacent to our living space. We have concerns about the proposed decks and the additional height of the structure. This will affect our privacy, our natural light and air, and will create a structure that is significantly out of scale with the existing attached twin. The New Jersey Municipal Land Use Law requires the board to consider whether the requested C variance can be granted without substantial detriment to the public good and without impairing the intent and purpose of the zoning plan. The desire for additional living space and a first floor enclosed garage are personal preferences and are not a unique physical hardship. The requested changes primarily benefit the applicant, while our adjoining property bears possible significant structural, safety, privacy, light, and property value impacts. I believe the potential impacts of increased structural burden, the safety concerns, the loss of privacy, light, and the negative effect on property value on an adjoining, physically connected, 81-year-old home deserves particular consideration, and I respectfully object to the requested C variances. Thank you for your consideration.
I have a question.
Thank you. Oh.
You were extremely well prepared. Did you have any conversation with your neighbor? Personal conversation about your concerns?
No, I live in, well, I mean, not intentionally. I live in Bucks County in Rotero, and I was just aware through the letter. So I did call the attorney. Well, first I called Carmela just to hear a little bit because I had no idea. And to make sure I had to be here, which I did. Then I spoke to the attorney who, he said that he would get back to me with properties, but hadn't, and he just said he would see me Monday. So I was here last meeting where, unfortunately, we had to reschedule, and now I'm here tonight. So no, I haven't had any communication, but to be honest, as I said, I live in Richfield. I don't live here, my brother lives here, but I would be like the primary person to, I'm the primary person on the deed.
Right. Yeah. My only concern is you did so much homework about this. You were so concerned. maybe a conversation could clear up a few things and maybe...
That's like a learning experience.
Yes.
I don't have that information because this has never been something... All I knew is I had a letter told me to come here and to come prepared if I have anything that I'd like to say. So that's what I did. There was no reference to speaking outside it. And as I said, I did speak to the Bruno's attorney, and he never suggested I speak to them either.
No, I was just asking.
Oh, I have no idea. I would have never known what to do, to be perfectly honest.
Very, very well prepared.
Oh, well, thank you. But I would have never known what else to do. And again, because there is an attorney and a structural engineer involved already and plans, like, they've already done their homework too. So I guess I just had to do mine.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
You said your brother lives there.
Yeah.
Do you ever come down and stay there?
He's got to get sworn.
I have been down, but I have a grandson at home now, and I just retired, so I really haven't been able to. But I mean, I was down. I have been down. I'll put it that way. No, she actually lives across the country.
I just want to say, you are the homeowner for 17. Well, you have a responsibility to make sure you're protected. You are connected. So you have to make sure you have proper insurance, they have the proper insurance, you have your own lawyer, you take pictures, because they would be liable for any damage that they cause you. So you need to get on that if it passes tonight.
Well, yes, and that was my concern also, because, and that's why I brought up, our wall, interior wall is paneled, and it's been paneled. So,
well, that's why you need to talk to professionals. I can't tell you that.
Right.
You know, you need your own professionals.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else wish to speak before the board? Hearing no other requests, the public portion of this meeting, of this hearing, is now closed.
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
Of the architect? So that party wall, the masonry wall, goes up through?
Goes up through the roof.
Through both roofs, so there's no physical connection between her attic, which I'm assuming there's a small attic in there, and the attic of the new space.
I don't think there's
so that
there.
Masonry goes straight up. There's going to be no disturbance beyond the masonry wall.
Correct.
Okay.
And that's why I'm putting, we piggyback the pile. So the integrity of the existing wall will remain, and the new wall will be just inside.
Do you appeal the piles, or we don't know that yet?
Yeah, we're not going to be able to drive. Just the houses, we have no listing in the house. Yep. So they don't be healed if they're in there alone.
So you will be putting in a new foundation?
So brand new foundation that holds all 4 stories.
Okay.
The existing?
Inside.
Two inside and two above, yes.
And of course, the property owner is aware that to the extent there's any damage caused by the property owner, they're going to have to satisfy the neighbor. To the extent the board sees fit, we've had these situations in the past, we would ask the neighbor, take pictures of everything, because as everyone knows, once you start construction, mystery cracks appear, and someone says, I was just telling the guys, we had a case years ago where someone said, this was in Margate, your pilings cracked our foundation. And we went out to the property, and there was already moss in the alleged crack in the foundation. Like, clearly, it wasn't caused by the piling being driven. It was caused by 100 years of the house sitting there. So to the extent construction's going to occur next door, we would ask the property owner, photograph everything, get us copies of everything. The Bruno's contractor is, of course, going to make sure with an indemnification and hold harmless that nothing occurs negative to the house next door. But I do want to comment on a couple of things, and with all due respect to the neighbor, Ms. Lind, who spoke well, what she's kind of saying is, we don't want to make our house more flood compliant and nicer, so you shouldn't either. You should continue to live with less space, more potential for flooding, and less modernization of the structure. This is a good thing for both properties. Understandably, it's going to be a bit of a headache while construction is going on, but in the end, what you're going to get, which is a purpose of zoning, is a flood-compliant structure next door with better gutter system, with off-street parking, all of which benefit the public good. The house is going to be higher, of course, and we'll have to address some of the issues regarding the deck. I know we haven't finished that. But with regard to the neighbors' concerns, this is a construction issue, not a zoning issue. From construction, I assume we're going to go and apply for permits, and we're going to need to show that everything can be done without upsetting the neighbors, which Bruno's contractor will take care of. So I respectfully say, just because the neighbor doesn't want to do the same thing the Brunos want to do, and the Brunos, by the way, I don't want to speak for Steve, but I will, would buy that house today. They've offered it in the past, correct? They don't want to sell. What can we do? So now we're stuck next to a property that doesn't want to fix itself up. It's like you're chained to someone, and you know, and neither one can get out of that chain. So the deck. I know that there were some issues remaining about the deck that we'd like to at least answer. And Tom, if you could, we just want to address whatever issues or questions the board still might have about that deck coming out the way it is now. So, they have questions to answer.
Well, that's a D variance.
Is there a
question?
I know the chairman had a question to see what impact it would have and where it would go, and Mr. Gaskell had a question about the bed of the street. I think that's been answered. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Personally, we both, Steve and I both agree that if you don't roof it, you're allowing more light to the neighboring homes. So even just by the sheer fact of not putting the roof on.
And
I don't know what it is.
Question for Mr. McLarnon. Roger, if that deck were roofed, does that still create the variance? Because now it's inside of the footprint.
No, because the solid building wall is 9 feet back. Okay. It's still a variance. You have to put the deck.
You have to put building walls and the roof, and you can end it. Or nothing.
Right, it has to cover the building, not another deck.
Right.
Yeah.
So if we came out with the roof,
it's not just the principal wall.
It would be worse than, I think it would be worse aesthetically.
It is.
And one would propose it, so this would be
roof. Yeah. But you would still need a variance, you could still, while it may have a roof, it's still considered that.
Yeah. It wouldn't change the fact that
the
it
only way to avoid that variance
is on that deck back 9 feet.
Yeah.
That's the only way.
Yeah, Tom, if you stop the wall, the deck at the principal wall, then it doesn't indicate a variance.
Right.
That's correct. So the area beyond it indicates.
This is the variance.
Yes, that's correct.
That 9 feet.
That
so
is correct.
So you could pull the gambrel back, exclude from the deck, but just don't go past the principal building.
That's exactly right.
So that's where we go from here.
And that variance goes away.
That's your decision.
Okay. So,
but that is what creates the deal.
That creates one more
yeah.
I think that's a bit more critical.
Well, we would propose, to the extent that the board would allow this, and I'll have to ask Mr. Manos, is Mr. Bruno spends a lot of time on his decks, and that's something that's more important to him than the house. So with regard to this deck and the way the house is laid out, we would ask for a separate vote when the board, if the board does pass a motion, for the third floor deck. Because this is an important aspect, maybe one of the most important aspects of the application.
So you want a bifurcation?
Of that issue only, please.
Right. And...
You read my mind, because I was thinking the same thing.
Okay, so, we will, okay.
But we do think there's a fair precedent. There are a number of decks, and we know that it's not precedent-setting as if we're in court, but there are a fair number of decks that are out to the end of the structure, even though it's past the house, it's out to the other deck, so they line up. Roger mentioned